here's your life lesson today in a nutshell. God said to all the living creatures when He created us, be fruitful and multiply. I mean, He gave us a couple of commands and He made it easy for us. And how many knows, we take life and we try to complicate it. You know, we get stressed and we get ulcers and we get all kinds of sickness and things because we get so complicated with life. And a beautiful life lesson is, He just, and how many knows He told the creatures the same thing? I think the creatures are doing better than us. What do you think? Just an observation. I have a house that I'm flipping and in my backyard, there's always a robin in there, or back or front yard, there's always one, every day. And when I turn the sprinklers on, they just play. It's just like a bonus day, like, ooh, we get to go to Whitewater today, you know. And they're out there in the yard, and they're just running through the water and just having a great time, because today God provided extra water, you know. And they're just enjoying that. And then I noticed one day I was over there at the house, and I was noticing that there was a big, it looked kind of like a mockingbird. I'm not real up on my birds, you know, but it was very aggressive. And he flew down to the place because he saw the little robin eating something. And the little robin just goes and just hops over, you know, like, you can have that spot. You know, there's plenty of room for all of us. And the little thing was aggressive, and he'd kind of go over where the robin was, and the robin just, you know, just bounce over somewhere else. And I thought, you know, God, make me a robin. Because there's too many of those kind of birds in the world. You know, just to say, hey, there's plenty for everybody here, and if I don't get that piece of the pie, or I don't get that promotion, or somebody else gets the blessing today, that I'll rejoice with them, you know. And so that's a part of the multiplying thing, being fruitful thing. And it's pretty simple. So let's look at it today. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going back to Genesis today, life lessons from the creation. And as I just gave you, that's our lesson today. Be fruitful and multiply. Verse 11 in Genesis 1. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth. You know, He says, be fruitful and multiply. And I mentioned last week briefly that whenever He's beginning to create out of this chaotic mass, the Bible says, that there's one thing I noticed is not only was He forming the outside, but He was putting something on the inside. And He did that with everything He created. Did you notice that in this sequence in the creation? Everything God created, He put something on the inside. He fashioned the outside, but everything He created, He put something on the inside. And He did the same thing with the earth. He didn't say He planted. It said, let the earth bring forth. Let the earth bring forth what is in the earth already. And I think it's worth mentioning that all He did was call forth what was already there. And He gave it a command to come forth. The earth brought forth grass and herbs that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then not only did He bring it forth, but I think it's amazing, don't you, that every seed that He planted, He put a seed in the seed. So that thing would never be quenched, or never, it would always be producing. God put a seed in the seed. It's kind of like the old saying, it's not the amazing question, it's not how many apples the apple tree can produce, but how many apple trees a seed can produce. That's the amazing question, isn't it? And that's what God did. God put a seed in the seed of everything. That's why if you don't mow your grass and you got weeds, how many knows what you're going to have? More weeds. Because they got a seed. I thought, why did you have to put a seed in the weed? And here's the answer, sin, that's why. That sin is why. He said, okay, so if you want that system where you now know good and evil and you've been in disobedience and you don't walk in that system, here's the seeds of that system. How many knows we walk in that same thing, weeds in our life, when we plant seeds of sin, we get weeds in our garden. We get weeds up here and weeds in here, and it becomes complicated, and it becomes a hassle, and it's not a pleasant place, because now we've planted something that we hope. It's like one man said, he said, "I used to sow wild oats and pray for crop failure, and it don't happen." Now, there is grace and mercy, and there's all those kind of things that go along with it. But I thought it was really interesting that he put seed in the seed. And everything God touches, and I thought, this is something that we need to take on us, is everything, what we're doing, what are we multiplying, how are we being fruitful? You know, what are we doing? And then I noticed when he made the animals, you know, he goes on down, and so now he's gonna create the animals. Look in verse 21. He's got the land divided now, and he's got the, you know, the earth and the soil and done all this. And so God created great sea creatures, verse 21, and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and He blessed them. And in the Bible says, saying... So God's talking to animals. I think God's still talking to animals. I think He knows bird language and rhinoceros language and all that stuff. He's still talking. But it says, God blessed them, saying, He's given a verbal command to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. Now this is just a thought and a little sidebar, but I think maybe this is where the prehistoric animals came in. The dinosaurs and the crooked, what do you call them? The birds, the first birds? Huh? Pterodactyl, yeah. I knew it was some kind of axle or something. And I think that's where they came in. I think that was supposed to be funny. It was, you know. And so I think maybe that's where they came in. Somebody said, where did they come from and what happened? And I think maybe the span of time, this is the first group that he created, was the prehistoric animals, and possibly was a long time before this next day, because this was the end of the fifth day. And so that could be a possibility. We got talking to Mark and Gina in Bible class before Bible class started the other day, and then Mark comes over, and then you're going over in Genesis, and it says, In the land of Nod, and one of them said, "Where's the land of Nod?" And I said, "It's right out here on Sunday morning." Which is not a good report for me, but I'm just saying. I'm here's my consolation. I think, well, I'm just preaching such a tranquil message. It's just putting you to such peace here. You know, that's what I say. So either that, or they need to get to bed and be more disciplined. So anyway, but I thought it was unique that he told these animals to be fruitful and to multiply. And it is amazing to you, it's amazing to me how the animals just know how to be fruitful and multiply. They don't look stressed. Jana yesterday was out around the pool, and she said, "Come here, I want to show you something." And I walk all the way, you know, I'm trying to get out the door and go somewhere and get some things done. But I go around, and she said, "Look at that frog." And he was just like, I mean, he was just bulging everywhere. You know, and how many knows June bugs are plentiful this time of year? And the frogs say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." You know. Yeah, that's a good imitation. Wasn't it? Because the cycle continues. They're being fruitful and they're multiplying. And I thought about it in the animal kingdom. You watch like... one of the animal channels, and they're over in Africa, and there's a herd of antelope or something, and there's a herd of, or of what do you call a pride of lions, and so they're stalking the little antelope, and the antelope is in this system that God made to be fruitful. And how many knows eating is a part of being fruitful and multiplying? If you don't eat, you won't multiply or be fruitful very long. And so that's just in their system, and somehow they just understand that. And you know, you don't see antelope out there just say, "Oh my God, oh my God, there's a lion somewhere, oh my God!" You know, you're just freaking out. You don't see that because they understand that somebody's going to get eaten today, probably. Good for the lions, not so good for us. And maybe some of them's thinking, maybe it'd be Grandpa. I'll get so tired of waiting on him, you know. Get him today. But they had their chase. You watch them. They had their chase, and then when the chase is over and the lion has taken down an antelope, then they're done. It's like, okay, and then they go back to eating grass and multiplying and being fruitful. What do we do whenever something attacks us? We stress for days. We worry and we fret over things we can't do. And I've tried to train us, you know, there's facts and there's problems. Nothing you can do about a fact. Don't stress over a fact. It's in the past. You can't do anything about it. You can't change it. And if it's a problem, you work on it. You build strategy and solutions to get to work out your problems. We can work on problems. Don't stress over problems, but work on problems. But if it's a fact and it's nothing you can do about it, somebody's just hurt you tremendously, and there's nothing you can do about that. You know, you can't say, well, why did they do it, and why did you, and just keep rehearsing over and over and over. You need to quit. That's a fact. You cannot change that. But what can you change? You can change where the relationship goes from this day forward. And so you change what you can change. It seems like the animal kingdom, when he said, be fruitful, multiply, they didn't have to tell them, don't stress. They just don't, for the most part. Because it's like they depend on a God that will really love them and cares for them. Good. You're being fruitful and multiplying. Yeah. You say hi to your neighbor and everything. For you that don't know, he's had some difficult neighbors. And now they're better. Because he's been being fruitful, and let me give you something. I think I'm kind of on a kick right now about the small church, because I just love the small church. I think that's the power and the hope of the planet is a small church. 94% of the people are in a small church. That's small church is 400 or under, and that's where 94% of the people are on Sunday mornings. That's where they belong, to the small church. But we've had some mega churches just do tremendously well and bear a lot of fruit, and there's about 0.04% of those are mega churches. And so coming up through school and things, and they teach us all the time about mega churches, and here's the four principles and the 10 guides or the 15 things you do, or, you know, from the mega churches. And for the most part, we're not relating, and we try different things and all. And so I'm on kind of a mission for the latter part of my life, just to encourage a small church, just to say, what we're doing here today is kingdom stuff. It's good. Be proud of who you are and what you do in the kingdom. And because he said, just be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say you have to. And so we've had a lot of pressure from you know, our denominational leaders and things to multiply. You know, we need to multiply. And it's almost like it's become the vocal point of the church is discipleship or winning souls, and that is a very important part. I don't want to downplay that any, but that is not the vocal point of the church. It's to love God. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread, and prayer. That's what they continued steadfast. Those elements were there. They were learning, and then hopefully that you go out and be light. And then your light, as you were being light, somebody will catch that light that's in our society, and they will see your light, and they will ask what it is about you and your light, and give you an opportunity to present what is the source of your light. So just rest in that. You know, just rest in that. Be light, be salt. Don't, you know, be a good student of the Word of God so you can get that inside of you and grow and know how to act. But it's simple. It's simple. It's not stressful. And stop stressing out about everything that God didn't call us to stress out about. It's amazing to me how, and I think part of it is yielding to what we already know. Yielding to what we already know. One of the things on Life that I saw, that animal series that was on, I don't know how many watched that, but that was, to me, I've watched it 2 or 3 times. And there's one part on there where there's some birds, they migrate every year 2,000 miles. And the one part that in particular that's just amazing to me, they'll leave one part of the world, fly 600 miles to a specific beach where these little army crabs are coming on shore by the millions and laying eggs in the sand. They know the day they need to leave to fly 600 miles to be on that beach the day they're coming up and laying all their eggs. It just baffles science. They can't figure out how in the world they could know this is when you need to leave to time it so you can fly 600 miles and be there. How far is 600? Is that about like San Antonio or something? Is that about that far? Anybody know? 600 miles from here? Probably like something like that, huh? Maybe farther than that. But it would be a long way, and they know exactly when to leave so they can land on this particular beach on that particular day so they can start. And they're just walking on top of the crabs as they're coming on shore because they're meeting there the same day they arrive the same day. And they don't know how in the world they do it. You know what my take is? When God put them together, He put that knowledge in them. That's a part of their being fruitful. He put that in their little bird brain and something... It don't have to. In one of my friends, I was telling them about that, and they said, "Oh, it's probably the weather signs, and it's all the and all this stuff." And I thought, well, it might be, but that's pretty complicated, isn't it, for a bird to say, "Let's see now, the barometric pressure feels like that's pretty complicated." I think for a bird, I think the simple truth is God put when he says this day to these animals, be fruitful and multiply. I think He put in there just a little spiritual ear to hear. And I think to the patriarch, matriarch, whoever it is over the crowd, he said to the flock of birds, He says, "It's time, children." And the papa bird looks over the flock and says, "Children, it's time." And they all just take off. And they don't quit, and they don't sit there saying, "Oh, it's such a pretty day. Do we have to leave the beach today? We'll always have to go this time of year, and I just, I'd like to stay 4 more days," They don't argue like us. They're not whiny like us. They just said, "It's time to go. I've got your meal is going ashore." And they just take off. They're obedient. And they're training us and teaching us that, the most fulfilled and blessed people on the planet are those that will multiply and be fruitful as they listen to the voice of God and follow Him after He said to them. How many knows He said the same thing to us? Be fruitful and multiply. So He said the same thing to us. He said as He said to the birds, as He said to this planet that brought forth seed in seed. And He's put stuff in them. One of the other amazing things that I saw in life was just so cute. It's just, I've watched it 2 or 3 times. But there's 2 little birds and one of them's building a little, it's kind of like a little... maybe this big, and it's a stick hut, and it's just like that. It's just a little oval hut, and they're building this, and they almost look alike. And I thought, isn't that something? How birds can craft the same type hut, and most birds do that. Whether it's a, it's whatever the eagles build these big nests and with big logs and big things, and then hummingbirds, and some of them build little. But they almost, it's like God put this architectural design inside their little brain, and they can just do that. They don't go to school. They go to school by watching. They're sitting there, little birds, and they're watching their mom and daddy day after day multiplying and being fruitful. And that's what we need to do as parents. We need to be just like the mama bird and the daddy bird, just sitting there being fruitful and multiplying and enjoying the planet and enjoying what God left us. So our little offspring, when they get grown, they won't go around stressing because they hadn't seen that all their life. They're used to just seeing parents that will live in the trust and the faith of God. What I'm trying to tell us is get a bird brain, in a nice way. Yeah. But it's so cool. Not only do they know how to design their house, they design their house and got this architectural design in their brain. They also know how, and they know that it's important to decorate it if they want a wife. And that's how their little mating ritual goes, according to how they decorate. And they show these 2 and they're decorating their house. And one of them's like a little Casanova. He goes out and gets little pink, reddish flower petals and flies in and lays them all. And he's got like a, probably this big around, just little flower petals all around the entry and up into his little house. It's just so cool. And then they showed one and I got so tickled. It was like Bubba Bird. Guess what his house was filled with? Deer dung. It was so funny. One's just got the flower petals and they're just all laid out here at the little path around the front of his house and in his house. And then here the other one, it pans over and he's coming in with another piece of deer dung. And he's got them just piled all around his in his house and his entry and stuff. And I thought, did something happen in his little bird brain? And it clicked in my heart. I said, Bubba don't want a wife. He don't want a wife. And she comes down and she's hopping around. She's looking in his little house, looking it over. And then somewhere along the way, I guess deer dung produces what's in deer dung, I guess. And it's little like toadstools popping up, like little flowers coming out of the deer dung. And so Bubba doesn't like it. So he starts clipping it all off before she can get there. Jana, I got tickled at Jana. This is a woman, you know. She said, if he would have left those little things, he'd have had a better chance. And I thought, that's what he was thinking. She might like these little flower-looking things. And so he clips them all off, you know. And it's so... And I thought, how do they know to do that? This is how. This is how. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. When God says to you and me, be fruitful and multiply, He loves us more than the birds, and He said, you know, we're far worth more than a sparrow, and everyone that falls to the ground, He's aware and takes care of it. And so here's the thing, when He gives the command to be fruitful and multiply, He puts the ability to do that in you. Just like He did with the birds. Guess who got the girl? Well, it wasn't Bubba. She flies over, sees the deer dung, inspects, and she's off, and she goes over to, you know, to Romeo's place, and in she goes. Bubba's happy, Romeo's happy, they're all happy, you know. Whew, one more year I escaped, you know. I can fly where I want to fly, I can do what I want to do, you know. But it's just amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. And so God said to them, and so we look on down and we go to the next creature, verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle, creeping thing, the beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, the cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and saw that it was good. Now look over in chapter 2, in verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. Isn't that something? Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So he made them out of the dust of the ground that already had seeds with seeds in it. Right out of the ground. There's a lot of life in the topsoil, isn't there? How many knows that's what you and I are? We're basically topsoil that God has breathed on. Because look at verse 18 in the same chapter, chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good. And this is the first time in all creation that God said, it is not good. You know, everything He made we read last week, God saw it and it was good. God saw it and it was good. God saw it and He made man and creatures and all the beasts that we, the cattle and the things that we're accustomed to. And it said in verse 31 of chapter 1, it was very good. So all that was very good. So 2:18, for the first time ever, God says, and it was not good. It was not good. And what was not good? Well, it's not good because now what He had told every living creature to do and be could not be accomplished through the person that was made in His own image. He can be fruitful, but He cannot multiply. And God said, that's not good. Here's my theory. He brought Adam to life and He made him first. He brought all the animals to Adam and had him name them before woman got here. Rhinoceros, here's Eve. Rhinoceros, what kind of name is that? Just a thought, ladies. How many knows you do? Most of you do have an opinion. And so I'm just thinking, He went ahead and gave Adam peace and naming all the thousands of animals. Giraffe? What's a giraffe? She said, you know. So He says, and He has to have one of them or the other. And I'm sure if the ladies would have come, instead of rhinoceros, it would have been that big, horny looking thing, you know, whatever it'd have been different. You'd have called him something different. The big horse, big elephant with a horn in his, I don't know, but you'd have called it something different. And so, but we're made in the dust, in the ground, with that seed in the seed, and He formed us, and He formed all the beasts of the earth. And so, and then He tells us, look back in chapter 1. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, just like He said to the birds, the first birds and the first sea creatures and living animals He made, be fruitful and multiply. And then He tells us to fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so again, He's saying, here's your commission. Now, when it talks about multiplying, it just means to increase. And some maybe in our church maybe wasn't able to bear children, and you say, I can't multiply. But the word multiply means to increase. And I think that if you're not able to have children, you can adopt children, and you can multiply yourself in them. Because how many knows whoever you're parenting, in fact, whoever you're around for an extended period of time, most the people around you is going to pick up something from you and take on something that you do, something they like. We can't hang around each other without taking on some of each other's characteristics or traits. Now, some people you just don't like, and it's not hard to do that. But people that you enjoy, your parents especially, how many just notice with parents, most of their children grow up and have a lot of their traits, good and bad. It was very amusing today when I was talking to Marlene and she said, I hope Bill and Millie's children and grow up to be just like them. And I thought, they will. You don't have to hope that on them. Because they will. And she's just talking about, she's just doing it in fun. But I that's what one guy told me one time. He said, I think your parents put a curse on you when you have children. I hope your children are just like you, and they are. Good and bad. When your kids go crazy, you know, where'd they get that from? Their daddy. They got that from their daddy, you know. Their mother, yeah, whoever. I've already picked on the ladies, so I better get to their daddy. Yeah. So this is what I want to convey to you today. He gave us the command to be fruitful and multiply and to have dominion. And so we're in charge. And He gave us the ability to do a good job of being in charge. And sometimes we're not doing such a good job, are we? How many knows there's hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil right now in our ocean? And it's funny to me that we're the ones griping about it and we're the ones that's consuming it. And if it's not available anymore, we're going to gripe about that. Because we're the consumer. If you got to drive to the bank, Kayla, you get to drive to the bank now, but if you have to walk because there's no oil, what are you going to do? You know what? We'll figure it out, won't we? We'll figure it out. But I'm just saying, we're a complex creature because we have intellect and we have something. Birds, they run off instinct and I still think they run off obedience to do some of the things they do. And to know what they know how to survive like they know how to survive. I think they're still under the influence of this voice that said to them, way back in creation, be fruitful and multiply. I think they're still in contact with their Creator much or more than we are. And we could learn from them. My last creature in my little house I've been working on is a rabbit. He's about this tall. He is so cute. And I thought, that's his yard. He just came and he don't pay rent. He didn't ask me if he could be in my yard. He just showed up. And now he's just there hopping around till Tom Cat comes. When Tom shows up, probably he'll be gone. But I thought, you know, who give you permission to get in my yard? And his answer would be, my Father. I was created in this area, and he said to go around, be fruitful, multiply, and he didn't say I had to ask you, Bubba. I'm hopping where he told me to hop. I'm hopping where he put me. You know what we need to do? Hop where God put us and be happy. We used to pastor a lot of college kids whenever we was over by Mid-America Church. They'd just come down there and they got to come in. And it never failed. They'd be from, most of them from back east, you know, and they'd say, this is our wilderness time. We're stuck in Oklahoma. I thought, well, I'm a native and I like Oklahoma. We don't have mountains and we got tornadoes. And that makes it kind of interesting. We don't have beaches. I would personally like to live where there's a place with a nice beach. Personally, you know, when I go visit my son and he's always been around the beach. Everywhere he gets stationed, there's a nice beach right there within just 5 minutes of his house. And he said, it's just hard to leave this, Dad. You know, I just, you know, because I've been trying to get him to come back to the States, and I think this time he's coming back to the States. But you know, that's where this is where I was born and raised, and so this is where I hop. This is my home. Humidity and all. We gripe because it don't rain in July, so God says, you want some rain in July? I can give you rain in July. One of my neighbors said that. I don't know if it'll ever rain in July again or not, right before all the floods came. I almost called her. Well, is that good enough or should I keep praying? I'm telling you, we just gripe, you know. And the birds are out there and they're soaking wet and they're just going, you know, just enjoying the rain. It's raining, so enjoy the rain. I couldn't get home. Jana couldn't get home. We had to go around, and she had to wait. I told her, I said, you can really pick them, honey. The worst place in the city where it got 4 inches, like an hour and a half, she pulled off that exit. I'm just saying, God's speaking. Are we listening? Maybe, where were the birds when it flooded? They were just sitting on their perch waiting for the flood to quit. Washing off. You know, listen, this is it's so easy. God made it so easy for us. And let me ask you something of you today. I just ask that you stop, we stop stressing. And just say my part, what God gave me. You know, we put stuff on ourselves to achieve and do. And like I said, the church does as well. What's priority? But really, more than winning souls, more than feeding hungry, it's just having a wonderful relationship with our Heavenly Father that loves us and created us and put all this together for us. He loves us. And He wants us to enjoy the planet. Satan wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy and stress us out and get us focused on every other thing in the world and get our minds cluttered with worry and doubt and fear. But God said, I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. I've come, that's why I sent Jesus, so we could have this inner peace. We were talking in our prayer group this morning, and our elder was talking about having the battle. When we have a battle, it should be out here. It shouldn't be in here. He just lost his mom, and the funeral's Tuesday at 2, isn't it? And for everybody that would like to go, you can see Philip after service. He'll give you that. His mother. She's been battling illness for a while now, And a few weeks ago, when they're talking about hearing the voice of God and bearing fruit and things, when Philip first talked to me about his mom in the hospital, I could tell by the tone in his voice and what he was saying that this is it for her. And God was preparing him for his mother's launching. I could just tell that. And that's what I told Philip that when he called and said, Mom is gone, and just wanted you to know. And we had prayer. But the Holy Spirit is still speaking to us, just like He is to the birds and all the creatures. You know, isn't it amazing how a bird can fly 2,000 miles and even navigate, even know where, you know, where he's going? Isn't that amazing to you? It's amazing to me. And for the ones that can't fly and can't leave the environment, He gives them the ability to grow a big old fuzzy fur or something, you know, if it's cold. Or if that's not good enough, he'll say, go eat something, go get you a good meal, and go get in that hole until further notice. And they'll just waddle over there and eat something, and they'll waddle over in their hole and just lay down until further notice. And maybe months will pass before the next word comes in, but they're just laying there, trusting in the Creator that made them, and loving, they know that He loves them, and they're just laying there until that little voice comes and says, it's time to get up. Time to get up. One of the other amazing things they caught on video the other day in that life was where at the winter time, and all the snow's not gone, but they know it's time to get up. And so this snake comes up out of the hole, and when this one comes up out of the hole, there's like hundreds of them coming up out of the hole. Just snakes everywhere. For some of you, it's got a phobia. You wouldn't want to see it because there's just a massive group. And then and what they're doing is laying on each other and warming their body temperature up quickly. And then all of a sudden the female comes up and they're all warmed up and they're ready and they're just swarming over the female and all these hundreds of snakes and it's just, it's amazing to me. And then there's always Bubba, right, in the group. And remember the Bubba bird? There's a Bubba snake as well. He, like two or three days later, he pokes his head out of the thing and he's cold and he can't hardly move. Guess what Bubba does? Somehow or another, and they don't know how he did it, but somehow or another this male snake's takes on the traits of a female, and all the young guys say, "Woo, female," and they swarm Bubba, and they're laying there warming Bubba up, and he's thinking, hee, 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 hee. And they don't know how he does this imitating a female, but they do, and they just warm over Bubba, you know, and he warms up. So he's got grace for the slacker. I mean, he's good, he's got grace for the slacker in the human race. Because sometimes we slack when we need to be working, when we need to be doing. We get that a lot here. People come in and their neglect has now become our emergency. It's what they'd like for it to be. It usually is not our emergency, they find out. But here's the point of today's lesson. God said when He made you, be fruitful and multiply. Now, if you can't have children, reproduce yourself in some other fashion or form. It just means to increase. Just show love and kindness to somebody that don't deserve love and kindness. That's reproducing yourself. Somebody down the line, they'll get a hold of that. Show faithfulness to somebody that's not faithful. Somebody down the line will get a hold of that. Just reproduce yourself in the good things. And be fruitful. Here's how we be fruitful. Whatever gift and gift mix and talents God gave you, use those to better where you are. If you got the gift of craftsmanship, build something, you know. Fix something. If you got the gift of communicating, well, communicate an inspiring word or hope to somebody that's hopeless. If you know how to patch people up in the medical field, well, do that. Be a healer in the name of Jesus. Cliff is in the hospital. Keep him in your prayer. Miss Thalma had called and I didn't get the message until after dinner. It was last night. We were sitting on the patio, and it's about 9:30, I guess, and I just looked to check my messages for, you know, see what's coming up. I always keep ahead of. And so I opened my phone up, and I saw a call in, and so I called her. She'd called about 6:30, and she said she was taking Cliff to the hospital. He couldn't hardly breathe, and so he got so bad she had to pull off and call 911. So they took him on to the hospital in Midwest City. And Miss Thalma said to me, she said, "I didn't know what to do. I am not a medical person. I don't know anything to do medically if something happens." So God wouldn't call her and ask her to do something medically. But how many know she can minister to people? She may not fix your sores and your wounds physically, but she can fix your wounds internally. I've seen her put her arm around many people in our church, and especially young people, and just give them a word and encourage them and love on them. And so that's her gifts and her mix. And she's recognized that the medical is not. And so it's the same with you and me. There's things that God gave you and gifts that God gave you that you can contribute to society and contribute in your community, and it'll be a help and a blessing for all. Just use those. That's being fruitful. Use what God gave you and don't worry about what He didn't give you to play on. Play on what He gave you. That's all God's asking from you. God didn't ask a peach tree to bear apples. Now man tries to, you know, co-mix the two and have these different fruits and graft them into each other, but He never called an orange tree to produce a watermelon. He didn't call a pigeon to produce a sparrow. You know what I'm saying? The seeds within you. So produce what God put in you. And know in your heart, that's all that God requires. So do that and be proud of that and be happy in that and love life and live it for the glory of God. How many knows we're leaving this place and we're going to heaven where there's no more tears and sorrow and sickness and suffering. It's going to be wonderful. But we ought to act like a part of heaven's here right now because the Holy Spirit's here and Jesus is here and everything we need has been given here and here and on this planet to sustain us. So let Him be your supplier. I've not had one bird come knocking at my door over at the house and saying, "Can you give me something?" No, because they know who their supplier is. They just know. We need to be as smart as the bird and know who our supplier is. Be fruitful and multiply. He's given you the ability and the resources to do that. Let's do it for the glory of God. Father, thank You for making it simple, and forgive us for making it complex. It's not hard. We make it so difficult sometimes because we get so stressed and worried about things. Even before anything happens, we're stressed. Because it could happen. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for meditating and stressing over the what ifs. What if this happened? What if that? That never happens. I pray that You will increase our ability to hear Your voice. I think You give us everything we need and You're still speaking to us and saying to us when we need to leave, when we need to stay, and where we need to go and what we need to do. And until further notice, right in our communities, being who we are, doing what You give us the ability to do, that makes You very proud. You love us beyond our belief, beyond what we can imagine. That's how You love us. Your desire when You created Adam was to come and walk with Him and have fellowship with Him. Just walk and talk with Him. That was what You... And let Him enjoy this planet. And You made Him a garden and gave Him a maid and gave Him everything He needed. And You just wanted to join Him in that walk, in that life. That's what You created us for. It's not about having to do and having to be, but it's just about enjoying what You give us. Being fruitful, using what we've got to our full potential, but just enjoying that. Enjoying You. Spending time with You. Walking with You. Talking with You. Talking with each other. You have put us here to do that. To be fruitful and multiply. So help us to take that and simplify it, look at it, and enjoy the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank You, Father, for giving us that kind of attitude and reminding us that everything we need, we have. Just to play on that. In Jesus' name, amen.